So I'm Laura Barth, formerly Catarabic. I'm listed as Catarabic in all of the program stuff. And I will be doing a very condensed version of my master's seminar, which is changes in the physical, chemical, and hydrologic properties of pine bark during the aging process. And we did a lot of stuff, so it'll be kind of a breeze through of everything we did, highlighting a few things. But I would love to answer any questions more in depth after I'm finished. So pine bark substrates are incredibly important in nursery production. There are over $4 billion worth of nursery crops grown in 2014, the last USDA survey. And pine bark is the most commonly used, and nursery substrates are often 100% pine bark. Bark use is also increasing in greenhouse production. While greenhouse substrates are generally peat-based, recently bark may comprise up to 50% of these substrates. While it's increasing in use and becoming a lot more common, it still remains one of the most variable and inconsistent substrate components. Even back in the 70s and 60s, when bark was first being researched, they reported on the inconsistencies of it. And just as a fun example, I was at a tour for the International Plant Propagator Society, and every bark that I went to, or every nursery that we went to, was using bark, but the barks were very different, as you can see there. And while they, you know, were all being used very successfully, there was still a lot of variation that a lot of people don't understand. So some of the sources of variation are from biological factors, the debarking method, whether you're using a ring or a drum debarker, processing, such as the grinding or screening, the screen size, the grinding speed, etc., as well as pile management. And this includes, it can include where the piles are placed in the nursery or things like aging. So bark of any age can be used. Aged bark is what's most typically used, while fresh bark is growing in popularity. And while both can be used successfully, there has been little research conducted to investigate the differences between fresh and aged bark or bark of specific ages. And there's never really been a systematic approach to measuring the effects of aging on the physical, hydrologic, and chemical properties of pine bark. So the objectives of my master's research were to kind of develop a systematic approach to measuring the effects of aging on pine bark, as well as to investigate and quantify the changes in the physical, hydrologic, and chemical properties of pine bark on a commercial scale over 12 months of managed aging. So our research site was at a TH Blue in Eagle Springs, North Carolina. The bark was unloaded as raw nuggets, as you can see, they're really large chunks of bark, on August 18th, 2015. It was ground on site, and the fines were placed in three piles, approximately 250 cubic yards each, that were aged for 12 months. And we also had two inventory piles of raw bark that we allowed to age as those raw nuggets for 6 months and for 12 months. So the experimental design, we had the fresh bark that was ground on site in the fines that were placed in three piles, like so. Then at the same time, we had the inventory piles. One was allowed to age for 6 months, one for 12 months. The six-month pile, after 6 months, was ground like the first pile and placed in three similar piles. And then we did the same for the inventory bark after 12 months. Three identical piles, and at this time, the first row was finished. And this was a lot of work that we did, so for the sake of time, I'll just be going over the first row, the fines that were allowed to age for 12 months. So just to kind of give you a size of the scale, or idea of the scale of this project, there's me on the smaller aging fines. And then there's my fellow student, Paul Bartley. Some of you may know him. He's a very tall guy, 6'3". That's him on one of the inventory piles. So piles were turned every 4 to 5 weeks. We turned them by using a front end loader, and they were moved from left to right or right to left. our sampling procedures were based on the U.S. Composting Council's test methods. Stratified subsamples were taken from three different heights, so I kind of visualized the pile into a grid. On the bottom there, we have what I call bottom. The middle is middle. Top is top. We wanted to sample from three random locations within each height zone. So, and then once I selected my location, we took samples, we dug in horizontally and took samples from depths of 1, 2, 3, and 4 feet. And so this sampling method was designed to account for variation within the pile and to reduce possible errors due to stratification of materials and conditions within the pile. And so once we had all those point samples that were brought back to the lab, we mixed them all together to get one representative pile sample to kind of just get an idea of the conditions in the pile overall and not look at individual components. And when the samples weren't being used for testing, they were stored indoors in a big walk-in cooler at 4 degrees Celsius. So these are some of the tests we did, physical tests. I won't go through them all, but you can see them. Hydrologic properties and chemical properties. So I'll start with an overview of some of the physical properties that we looked at. Temperature, we kind of measured temperature the same way that we did the sampling. We put three temperature probes, one in each height zone, and took recordings at depths of 1, 2, 3, and 4 feet. So some of the data from that, you can see that the piles underwent a thermophilic stage where there was a drastic increase in temperature over the first 4 months, then a subsequent decrease to about 70 degrees Fahrenheit in February, and then kind of a gradual increase to the end of the study, which was in August, and we attribute that just to a rise in ambient temperatures due to the summer months. And you can kind of see that when we do the, we took average monthly temperature data too, and so you can see that the temperatures in the pile increased even while the average monthly temperatures were dropping through October, November, and December. And then you can see that the pile temperatures after about 6 months, starting in February, did follow the trends of the ambient temperatures. When we looked at the individual temperatures taken at each depth and each height, you can see that there is a lot of variation within the depths, especially during the first 5 months. You can see that the temperatures were very warm, almost up to 180 degrees in the top and top of the pile and at a depth of 4 feet. And then you can see that the stratification really decreases and the temperatures, even in the middle of the pile and the top, all kind of become the same as with the bottom. We also briefly looked at thermal imaging as a possible way to measure temperature. We didn't really get a lot of conclusive results from this, but this is definitely an area that could be of use to growers and should be researched further. We investigated the color of the bark. One thing a lot of growers look for in terms of bark that they think is stable or bark that they would like to purchase from a supplier is color. So we tried to quantify the color changes using a Munsell soil color chart. Basically, you have a chart like that that has aperture holes. You put the you have like a representative sample of the bark. You measure it in ambient lighting, and you put the chart over it, and then you kind of just measure the closest color. And so there's a close-up of it. The cards are broken down into hue, value, and chroma. So you have your hue on the right side, value on the left, and chroma on the bottom. And that's how they're read. So, for example, the bottom left reading would be read as 5YR2.5/1. So here's how the color changed over time throughout, and this is, I think, in response to the temperatures as well. From months 0 through 6, there was definite darkening. And from 7 to 12, it still darkened slightly, but not. I was in there all the time looking at them, so I could tell the subtle differences, but for all intents and purposes, after 6 months, you didn't really see a whole lot of color change. We looked at particle size distribution, just using a Rotap shaker with 12 different sieve sizes. On the bottom, on the x-axis there, we have the particle size fraction, which corresponds to the sieves. And then we have the difference between month 0 and month 12. And so basically you can see that there was a decrease in the amount of large particles and an increase in the amount of small particles and fines over time. And so this will have, the particle size has a direct effect on the porosity. So we measured porosity using the Perometer method at NC State. You can see that container capacity, which is blue, and airspace, which is yellow, there was greater airspace with the fresh bark, but this decreased over time, the airspace, while the container capacity increased, which and total porosity, which is the sum of both of those, remained the same for months 2 through 12. So basically, total porosity remaining the same, while there was a decrease in airspace and increase in container capacity, indicates that the volume of pores stayed the same, but there was a shift to smaller pore size in the same total pore volume. And bulk density on the second y-axis there increased over time, again, due to the amount of small particles and smaller pores. We looked at dimensions. A lot of things pine bark growers are interested in is whether how much their volume shrinks. So we saw that the volume did shrink over time, and I see that I have 5 minutes left, so I'm going to go through the remainder of these pretty quickly. But drone imaging is also a way that we can use to measure volume a lot more quickly than going out there with one of those rollers or measuring by hand. And so with drone imaging, they give you like a 3D representation of the site, and they use GPS coordinates to give you a volume. It flies over a pre-programmed route and takes a bunch of photos of your site, and then using those photos with the GPS, it can stitch together the data that you need. So that's uploaded into a software program that will, you outline what you want to measure, and it gives you the volume. So it calculated the volume at 176.2 yards. My hand measurements calculated it at 185 yards. So that's pretty close, and it's a lot faster to use the drone. We investigated sand content. A lot of pine bark suppliers will add sand into the mix. However, if you are if you have bark like on a lot that has a lot of sand in it, we noticed a great increase in sand contents as because of the turning. So they might not need to add sand at all, or if you notice that there's a lot of sand in the bark, you might need to adjust your techniques, your growing regime, to counteract the sand or be aware of the sand. Hydrologic properties. We investigated wettability, which is the amount or ability of the bark to hydrate efficiently. There is kind of a debate in the literature whether young bark hydrates as well as older bark. So basically, from 0 months to 12 months, we looked at bark at 25% moisture and 50% moisture, and so we didn't really notice any difference in the hydration efficiency of bark of different ages, meaning that if you have fresh bark at 50% moisture, it should wet up just as easily as aged bark. One thing to be aware of, though, if it's 30% moisture or less, you are going to get dry pockets in there. For all ages of bark, we noticed that at 25% moisture, there were pockets that never wet up, as you can see on the right. We looked at hydraulic conductivity using this method by Fontenot and Drizal. And I would be happy to explain the mechanics of this later or outside of the session. But basically, we saw that the percolation or hydraulic conductivity, the ability of the water to flow through the media, decreased with age significantly from 0 to 12 months. And this is because of the increase in smaller particles that we saw. However, one thing of note was that we saw a lot more variation in the results from this in the beginning versus the end. At the end, the bark was a lot more uniform. Chemical properties, we looked at pH and EC. There's a little dip there between months 7 and 8, but overall, the pH really stayed within a narrow range from about 4 to 4.6 throughout the course of the aging. EC looks a little bit more dramatic than it was, but it stayed between 0.3 and 0.6. Plant available nutrients, everything kind of leached except for phosphorus. C-to-N ratio remained moderately high throughout, but there was a decrease after month zero. And I'm about out of time, but feel free to get a hold of me after the session.